Okay, so this morning I'm going to talk about my title of my message is basically Jehovah Jireh, have faith in him. And I was asked last week, is there part two to your message? So this is going to kind of sort of be part two. We'll see if it is. But basically I'm going to talk about the main theme of my message is basically having faith and believing in God. Jehovah Jireh means that God is our provider. And so throughout this message, that is going to be a part of the theme, but what I really want us to grasp hold of is just having faith in God and knowing that God is all-powerful and believing. You know, last week we talked about him using us and us being willing to be used. And just to have faith that God can prepare those moments for us and give us the strength that we need and give us all that we need, not just for ministry to make him famous, but basically in every area of our life, if we have faith in God to provide for every single need that we have, he will certainly do that for us. And as I was preparing this, I thought, I know I pulled out some people last week and mentioned their names in church and kind of just different things about them, and I had a few come and say, hey, that was embarrassing, so but I'm going to do it again. And what I was thinking of just in the area of provision and how God provides and how when we believe and when we have faith in God and knowing that he will provide for our needs, he does. And I look at the Kids Church program with Pam taking it over this year, and the amount of people that have come forward to help out in that program, it just astounds me. It really does. And I've said this to so many people, and they're probably tired of hearing me say this, but I just get excited. Because I know poor Yvonne was like struggling, please. And I don't know, it's just like all of a sudden people are coming out of the woodwork to help out. And that's God's provision. And that's, you know, Pam and everybody else and Pastor Steve having faith and believing that this program needs to continue, that it is important. And God provided the means for that.
I wasn't so faithful in the beginning. No, honestly, I wasn't. Yeah. And Steve went, oh, I do. And I went, okay. And it was because we started with three people.
Wow. And now you've got
over 12.
Over 12. So that's awesome. So there you go. See, you know what it says? Seed of a mustard, like a faith of a mustard seed, right? And if you've ever seen a mustard seed, like they're pretty tiny. So just a little bit of faith. What God can do in that is really quite amazing. And I want to point out, and I know she's going to kill me for this afterwards, because they certainly aren't people who want to be pointed out at all, but is my friend Sherry and her husband Dave. And I just think, you know, I feel sorry for Pastor Steve, because he not only has to lead in worship, but he has to preach every single Sunday. And that is very wearing. It's a lot for a person to carry. To prepare a message alone is a lot. And if anybody's ever spoken in front of people, it's a lot that you put your heart and soul and into your message. And that is draining in and of itself. But then have to lead a song service. And I mean, he has Yvonne to sometimes take some of that pressure away. But now we have Sherry here, and I just really want to acknowledge Sherry and her husband Dave. Just they're now going to be ministering here, and I'm excited for that, because we have faith. And you had said this, right? You had said to Steve that have faith that the worship, it's going to be okay, it's going to be good. And God brought the Watkinsons to us, and I'm so very, very excited. And if you don't know them, please get to know them. Sherry's father actually used to pastor here years ago. And God had them ministering in another church for a while, and he's brought them back now to worship and to help Pastor Stephen in the music area now. So we're blessed to have them. But I just look at that, and I think that's God's provision for us. Again, he provided another, another moment where Pastor Steve can come and just focus on his message, and somebody else, another person, you know, now we have Yvonne, and we have Sherry, who can help in that area, too, just to take some pressure off. So God's provision, right? When we have just a little ounce of faith and belief, and look at how many people are in our church today. You know, every week, it's like God is providing more, you know, more and more people are coming in, and I just get so excited on the growth of that. And that, again, is God's provision, but having faith and believing that You know, God's going to do an awesome work in our church. And he is. It's exciting. So where I wanted to, I'm totally off my notes here. Let me just kind of flip here. Okay, so last week I talked about allowing God to strip off the things so that we can be more effective for the kingdom and to stop worrying about what other people think and being willing to be, if God wants you to go in the opposite direction of what you had planned to go, because maybe he has a reason for you to go and to minister, that he wants you to do that, be willing to do that. And when you look in the mirror, are you challenged to see more of Jesus in the mirror than you see of yourself? We want, when people see us, we want them to see Jesus. And so as we talk about faith, we're going to use, again, like I said, we're going to use a scripture verse that had more kind of to do with provision, but we also need to have the faith and believing that God can provide those things. Okay, so the verse that we're going to look at this morning, it will basically show us how God will provide in areas of our life, in providing times of rest, in time, needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, and showing us his unconditional love. And we just need to, as we go through these scripture verses, just see how we need to have the faith that he will provide for us in these areas. So we're going to turn to Mark 6, verse 30 to 45. And this is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I know that it's a story that we've heard a lot and probably read a lot and heard 100 messages on it before. And as I was getting this ready, I kind of just actually said to God, like, we've heard this a million times. And it was neat because I really felt the Lord say, my word never becomes boring, and it's always, you know, for today. So even though you've heard this, probably read this scripture many times before and heard it before, my prayer for you today is that maybe you just take something, one little point, maybe a little bit new. And just maybe, you know, even if it's not new, but maybe it's just something that you walk away and go, yeah, God really does provide for me. I just have to keep believing and keep, you know, pushing forward and hanging on to his hand and knowing that he will provide for me, and just continue to have faith in that and faith in believing in that. So it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We're going to go from verse 30 to 45. I'm not going to read the whole thing right through in one shot. I'm just going to take it in chunks, and then we'll get through it together that way. So we're going to start off with verse 30 to 31. And it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have the chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And here, I just kind of put in my notes, I put Jehovah Jireh, the provider of rest for us. And here the disciples were all kind of coming back. They had dispersed and they were all coming back now. They've done some mission work and they're all coming back and they're just excited and want to share with Jesus all of their things that they've done and were able to accomplish and just all their stories of what went on. So they're kind of gathering back and they're all tired. They've been ministering, they're traveling, and now they're coming back and meeting with Jesus. And they're very much in need of time of rest and just wanting to spend some time with Jesus and tell him basically what they had accomplished in that time. But Jesus, too, was tired and exhausted. And just prior to this, John the Baptist, his cousin, was murdered. So Jesus is dealing with, because he was human, right? So he's dealing with emotions of dealing with the loss of his cousin. And he's tired and exhausted, too. And here we see where Jesus says, come. Come to a quiet place where I can give you rest. And when I read that, what bounced off the page to me was that we have to take that step of faith and come to Jesus when we are in need of rest. You know, sometimes we get so busy in our lives, and we talked a little bit about this last week, just, you know, we're just busy doing, and how much I've just really come to hate that word, busy. And here Jesus is just saying, come. I want to be your provider of faith, provider of rest. Have faith in believing that I will, in fact, give you rest. And a story that I wanted to share with you, just as far as coming and just really believing. I don't think I've shared this story with you before, but when I was ministering in Sault Ste. Marie, I went through a time that I was just so busy doing ministry and being and doing, and there's a lot of, I'm going to say expectations, and it's not that people intentionally put expectations. I'm sure Pastor Steve can vouch for this too. But there's expectations that are put on a pastor and things that just assume that you can be done because pastoring isn't really considered a real job. So I just kind of, it's true. You know, we're at the church and we don't do anything all day. So I really started to feel exhausted, and the only way that I could really, if you wanted to put a word on it, on how I was feeling, was I was feeling plastic. Like I just was just going through the motions of ministry. My passion was down to a bare minimum, and I was basically just going through the motions. And one day I was in my office just doing some work, and the lady who was in charge of leading worship had come into the sanctuary to just to go over some songs for Sunday morning. And I could hear her on the piano just worshiping God. And I felt, it was like, you know, sometimes those moments where you just have like almost an audible voice from God that said, come to get some rest. And so I sat in my office and I'm coming off like that. It was weird, but it was just like it was nattering at me, like I just had to go. So I snuck down in the office and I snuck into the very back pew. I didn't want her to know that I was there because I really felt this just had to be a time between me and the Lord. And I was kind of just using her as my liaison for that. So I snuck in the back pew and I just laid in the back pew. And while she played, she didn't know that I was there. She wasn't performing for me. This was just her in her home having her own moment with God. And I just laid on that pew and just had faith that God was going to give me the rest that I needed and that God was going to restore me back up again. And as I laid in the back pew, I just was sobbing. I just was like, God was just pouring himself on me and just refreshing me back again to do the job that he called me to do. I told this lady later on that I was in there, and she said, I had a feeling that somebody was in there, but I didn't see anybody. But it was just a really cool moment that God was my provider of rest for that moment. But that, you know, in that moment when I heard his voice to come, rather than, you know, sometimes we hear God telling us to do something and we just kind of like, oh, that was just me. Or that was just, you know, my mind playing tricks on me. But to have faith in knowing that that's God calling you and to believe it and to go and receive what he has for you. So in that time, God was my provider, Jehovah Jireh, of faith. We're going to go to verse 33 to the first part of 34. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them. So here we see that Jesus is preparing to take his disciples away for a time of rest. And just for himself, too. And he wanted to go away to a solitary place. But as they were going, people recognized Jesus. And they began to run to him. And in verse 34, it says that he saw them and he had compassion on them. Jesus was tired. He was mourning. He was in need of a rest. But his heart was so filled with compassion and unconditional love for these people. He truly cared for them, and he forgot about his own needs to tend to his people. The people who needed guidance and leadership, he was there to teach them and take care of them. And no matter what was taking place in his life, he cared for the people. He always, always has time for us. He is our provider of unconditional love. And I just want to jump to verse 35 and 36 just for a second. It says, by this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And it's interesting because we see Jesus who is taking compassion upon them and unconditional love upon them, and he wants to just, you know, show them that love. But on this other side, we have the disciples who are like, just send them away. Just send them away somewhere else where they can get something to eat. And they didn't see, they didn't have the same compassion and unconditional love for those people as what Jesus did. Now, my mother-in-law gave me this little story that I'm going to read quickly. And I thought it was kind of, it's kind of silly, but it just, you know, it shows us sometimes when there's a need for somebody, for us to maybe help with somebody in a certain area. And we need to just listen to that. Sometimes, you know, that little voice that God says, go and help this person, or go do whatever, or call them, or whatever. And a lot of times we just want to ignore it. But here we see that Jesus didn't, and we can really, really just glean from that and take something from that. But this one is called, this little story is called The Mousetrap. A mouse looked through a crack in the wall to see a farmer and his wife open a package. What food might this contain, the mouse wondered. He was devastated to discover that it was a mousetrap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed this warning, there's a mousetrap in the house, there's a mousetrap in the house. And the chicken clucked and scratched and raised her head and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it is of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it. The mouse turned to the pig and told him, there's a mouse in the house, there's a mouse in the house, a mouse trap in the house. The pig sympathized but said, I am so very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there is nothing I can do about it but pray. Be assured you are in my prayers. The mouse turned to the cow and said, there's a mouse trap in the house, there's a mouse trap in the house. The cow said, wow, Mr. Mouse, I am sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, head down and dejected, to the farmer's mousetrap, all alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house, the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see it. It was a venomous snake whose tail was caught in the mousetrap. The snake bit the farmer's wife, and the farmer rushed her to the hospital. When she returned home, she had had a fever. Everyone knows you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took the hatchet to the farmyard for the soup's main ingredient. But his wife's sickness continued, and friends and neighbors came to visit with her around the clock. To feed them, the farmer butchered the pig. But alas, the farmer's wife did not get well. She passed. So many people came to her funeral, and the farmer had to have the cow slaughtered to provide enough food for all of them for the funeral luncheon. And the mouse looked up upon it all from his crack in the wall with great sadness. So the next time you hear someone is facing a problem and you think it doesn't concern you, remember, when one of us is threatened, we are all at risk. We are all involved in this journey of life together. We must keep an eye out for one another and make an effort to encourage one another.
Thank you.
So when you hear somebody say, there's a mouse in the mouse! Okay. So I know sometimes in my life I have been also tired and exhausted and not wanting to spend time with people or going to visit or going to talk or, you know, talking on the phone is a stretch for me. And it just seems very, very overwhelming. But when I look at Jesus, he is always there for us 24/7 to provide for us unconditional love. Even in the midst of his weakness, he is Jehovah Jireh, provider of unconditional love. And the faith part of this comes, you know, when I showed that video last week, if you remember. And in the end of it, where he was scared because God was chiseling away all the things that were not of God, and he became very afraid and said, God, you're not going to like what you see in there. It's not a pleasant thing to look at. And God says to us, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. It doesn't matter how many times maybe that he's asked you to do something and you didn't quite do what he asked you to do and you feel bad for that. God will give you other chances. Past is past. It's gone. He loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter who we are, where we've been, what we've been. He loves us no matter what. And as much as he has unconditional love for us, we need to also have that unconditional love for others and keep having that faith and knowing that God loves us unconditionally. And you know, we pray that we are able to love others unconditionally as well. The second part of verse 34 says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. And here we see Jesus is our provider of spiritual needs. But again, we have to go to him. We have to have faith and believing that he will actually be our provider in that. He saw these people as if they were sheep without a shepherd, no one to lead them, no one to take care of them. And he stopped and he took time to fill the needs of these people, spiritually teaching them. He met them where they were at to teach them and love on them. And we need to seek out Jesus and allow him to teach us and grow us spiritually. And it says in the beginning there, it says that the people ran to him to hear Jesus. They actually ran to see him. They recognized him and they ran to him. And we need to take that step of faith and run to Jesus, to run to him to be our spiritual provider. This past summer, we were visiting friends in Hamilton, and I would get up in the morning and go do a walk. And it's hard to remember now, but remember in the summer we had a really dry spell where there was no rain. We were begging for rain. And as I was walking, I came upon a school that had a track and a soccer field, and I was just kind of doing the walk around the track, figuring that would be a best bet so I wouldn't get completely lost in where I was going. And just walk circles, it's easier. But the grass was, because we were having no rain, remember? The grass was brown. It was like crunchy as I was walking along this soccer field. And I had just this really cool God moment where as I was walking along and seeing all the dead grass, there was weeds that were growing that were like 6 feet tall. And all of a sudden God said to me, do you see? You need to come to me for refreshing. Just like the grass needs to have water to refresh it, we need to go to God for the refreshing. Because in those dry times, the weeds, the enemy, still lingers. He still has strength. And he will come in and he will try to take over. So we need to make sure that we have faith and believing that we're going to keep hanging on to Jesus' robe, and we are going to go to him for the provision that we need, that spiritual food to keep bringing us back so that we don't dry up, that we don't get all crusty and gross, that we stay fresh and green and new in him and not allow those weeds to take over. Because the enemy will keep being there. But we need to keep running in the direction of Jesus and allow him to provide for us for our spiritual needs. Verse 36 to 45, this is the last part of this scripture verse. And this mainly really is when this scripture verse gets preached on. This is kind of the big chunk of it all. This is where Jesus really shows that he is the provider of physical needs for us as too. But the important part is that we have faith in believing that Jesus indeed is able to provide in all of our needs. You know, we've just talked about spiritual needs and showing us unconditional love, how those are all needs in our lives. But he is also the provider for us in all things of our lives. And do we really believe that? Do we really have the faith in believing that Jesus is in fact the provider of all our needs? And here we see an incredible miracle that will take place. And Jesus sees the need, the hungry people that need to be fed. And it's a perfect opportunity for Jesus to show that he is providing our physical needs. But as well, it's a perfect opportunity for him to test the faith of the disciples to see if they will stand the test in believing that God can actually provide. So verse 36 and 37 says, this is the disciples saying, send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And then they said, but that would take 8 months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat? And I look at this and I think, they're probably thinking of all the other things that can actually be done with that money. Why would we spend 8 months of wages to provide food for all these people when they can just go and eat in surrounding towns? We can meet them later. They didn't have that full comprehension of Jesus' power. And they're actually almost putting limits on God. And I think, how many times do we put limits on God? How many times do we say, to God, no, sorry, we can't do that. No, God, that's just not possible to happen. And we put limits on God. And God says, but I am the provider. If you have faith in me, I will provide this for you. Verse 38 says, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they had 5 small loaves of bread, 2 small fish. And Jesus was prepared to perform a miracle. So important that it was actually recorded in all the Gospels. 39:42 says, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and set them before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. So Jesus had the disciples break the people up into 50s and hundreds. And why he did that? Probably just to make distributing of the food maybe a little bit easier. And it says that 5,000 were fed. But in actuality, most of you probably know they only count the men. So it was 5,000 men. So count wives and children, probably maybe 10 to 15,000 people were fed that day. And he sat them down. And he was telling them to prepare, to get ready to feed them. If you want to prep that video, that'd be great. So Jesus took 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fish, and 12 baskets. So I just brought a basket here today, and I got Daryl to give me a little fish. And a little piece of bread. I mean, I know this isn't. But I just want you to imagine 12 baskets, and there's probably 15,000 people sitting here. And there was 12 baskets with not a whole lot of food in each basket. It looks pretty empty, obviously. And Jesus said to his disciples, he broke it up, he gave thanks to God for the food that they had, and he said, now I want you to go feed them. Now, I don't know about you, but my faith is pretty minuscule. It probably would be at the zero range. If God was to give me this basket and say, okay, 12 of you with this much food, go feed this crowd of people. Can you find it or not?
I closed it and I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on it.
Okay. So just try to imagine that what you would feel like if Jesus said to you, okay, here's this little piece of bread, here's this little fish. I just want you to kind of think for a minute what the fear you would have of, is it not working? Don't worry about it then. So imagine that first step that you'd have to take with this basket. Now put yourself in the disciples' position, okay? Jesus says, go feed them. It would be that first actual step forward that would be like, he's losing his mind. Like, how am I going to feed this many people with this tiny bit of food? So it's that first step of faith in believing. And the video actually that I had is from the movie, I think it's Temple of Doom. You can YouTube it if you want to with Harrison Ford. And he's in a cave and he has to get to the other side and there is no steps, there's nothing. There's basically a drop off of like forever. And so he's standing there and they're telling him, just have faith and take that step. And as he lifts his foot, thinking that he's going to die, to go to the bottom, as he lifts his foot, all of a sudden this tiny little path of rock forms. And I think as the disciples took that first step of faith, the food would start to multiply. I don't know. I just would imagine. Or maybe it just was little the whole time, and as he's handing it out, it just wasn't getting smaller, and it kept staying that way. But it was just taking that first step of faith in believing that God was going to actually do something. Now, I mean, how many of us, when God would say, I want you to go here and do this, or I want you to go there and do that, or speak to this person, or whatever it is, because God requires of us something. So whatever that something is for you, what is it that God is saying to you? Have faith. And you look at it and you go, but God, this is impossible. This is not, there's no chance that I can take this little bit of food and feed that many people. And God says, have faith, because I go with you. I don't send you alone. Remember, all from last week and this week, God is with us all the time. He never, Pastor Steve said that this morning already. You know, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is with us always. He goes with us. And even we don't have to have this huge amount of faith, because sometimes that's impossible. I don't know that my faith would be all that great with Jesus doing this. I would be kind of thinking, okay, well, I'll feed one or two, and then I'll come to Jesus and go, you're wrong. You know? But just to go and just trust in him. He will provide. 42 and 44 says, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces and bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten that day, men, were 5,000. Now, the cool thing about this is there was leftovers. Hello. There was leftovers. When Jesus does something, he doesn't do it just, you know, okay, we're just going to make it. We're just, you know, there's one last little crumb. When we have faith in believing in Jesus and trust in him, he will do it abundantly. He will provide so there's leftover. I have a little story with you that I'm going to share, and then we'll close. This summer, Daryl and I and the girls got to go to Niagara Falls. And it was for Vanessa's 20th birthday, or 21st, how old is she? 20. There comes that point where you forget how old you are and how old kids are. I think it's chosen forgetfulness. So anyways, we went with friends to Niagara Falls. And for us, you know, two girls going off to college, and Daryl's on the verge of starting a business, and money's extremely, extremely tight, as probably for many of us. So when we went to McDonald's, yeah, am I hungry? When we went to Niagara Falls, we had said to the girls, we're going to go, but we're not doing like, you know, normally they get there and they want to do every attraction and every museum and every wax thing that's going, whatever, whatever. And we said, this time when we go, we're going to the falls, we're going to have a nice dinner out, and we'll do like maybe one or two of the attractions, but that's all. We can't afford it right now. And we also had my nephew with us as well, so we were paying for him as well. So the girls were like, that's totally fine. We totally understand. And the family that we went with, they're the same. They were like, you know what, we just basically are coming along for the ride, and we just want to, you know, keep the day as minimal cost as possible. So that's fine. So we're doing our thing. We're walking around, and the first place that we come to is one of those laser shooting. You go around in the little chairs, and you shoot things with laser gun. So the kids are like, oh, can we do this? Can we do this? And I'm like, oh, here we go. First attraction, and they're already bugging me to go on stuff. And so Daryl and I are figuring it out. Okay, if we let the girls go, it's $7 a person. You know, it's $21. Is this worth the $21 to go? And we're kind of just discussing what we're going to do. And randomly, this lady comes up to one of the son of the people that we were with, and she says, I have some free tickets. Do you guys want these free tickets? And we're like, sure, we'll take free tickets. So with the tickets, we had enough for, I think, four of the kids to go. And Vanessa was was 20, and then their other boy was 20, right? So he was like, I don't have to go. He says, just let them go. So they were all getting ready to go. And we were standing where you give your ticket to the lady, and we're like, we just have four tickets. So, and Vanessa had, actually it was her birthday, so she had like a boa and a thing that said birthday girl on it. So we made her look stupid. We had to. Anyways, so we're like, we have four tickets, so these four are going to go. So she's like, no, no, you all can go. And we're like, no, but we only have four tickets. She says, it's okay. There's 10 of us, okay? She's like, you can all go. We're like, no, but you don't understand. It's okay, just come. So she opens up the door. So all 10 of us get to do a $7 normally a person ride for free, okay? We only have four tickets. So we all go in. We're like, score! Jesus loves us! We're all excited. So we go in. thinking, well, maybe it's like Friday or something. So we're watching people behind us to see if they're paying. Well, they're all paying with tickets, and we're like, suckers. So anyways, then we get out of there, and we're like, well, that was cool. Okay, so what's next? So we're standing around, and was it right then when another lady came up to us? Another random lady. I swear, this is God. Another lady comes up to us and says, hi, I have some extra tickets. Would you like them? And we're like, sure, we'll take those tickets. So she gave us some extra tickets, and some of them were for the go-karts, and some they were all like for different random things. And a couple of the things were for some rides that were outside, but it was pouring rain. The girls didn't want to do the rain ones. So we went up. Some of them wanted to do mini putt. So we decided, okay, we're going to take these. We had two tickets, I think, for mini putt. We went up to the mini putt lady and we said, we have two tickets for mini putt, but we also have all these other tickets for this ride. I forget what it was, SpongeBob or something outside, anyways. But it's raining. We don't want to do those. Can we exchange those tickets for the mini putt? And she says, no, I'm sorry, that's not possible. We're like, really? Like, we're thinking, but we're under Jesus' cloud right now. Like, don't you see a glow? Like, don't you want to help us out of here? So we're like, okay, well, that's kind of a drag. So we start to walk away. Well, then the manager from the game just happens to walk by and stops us and says, can I help you with something? And we're like, yeah, actually. We have these tickets for mini putt. We all want a mini putt, and we have these other tickets for the thing outside. Whole story, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, okay. So she walks up to the girl at the cash register, and she says, just allow these people today to exchange those tickets. Nobody else is allowed to. This is just for today. They can all go. So we got to go with two tickets for mini putt and a few tickets for something outside. 10 of us. To go mini putt for an hour or a couple of hours, I don't know. It was awesome. So we mini putt and we get out and we're like, this is so awesome. Like, we are on a roll today. I swear, as I'm standing here, the first woman who came up to us came back again and says, we have leftover tickets. We're done for the day. Do you want these tickets? Well, our friend who was with us, he pokes her in the shoulder and goes, are you real or are you an angel? Because this is getting weird. So we had more tickets. So we literally got to go for the day. I mean, we did everything. We did SpongeBob 4D. We did mini putt. We did all kinds of excursions. It was crazy. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And we didn't spend a dime. Not a dime. Now, the best thing is that when we were done and we were finished and we're starting to head home, we had leftover tickets. Now, remember this, God doesn't just do to the need, he provides leftovers. We had leftover tickets. So we were able to just grab another random person as we're getting ready to leave and say, hey, do you want some free tickets? See, God is our provider. We just have to have faith and trust and believe that he will take care of every single one of our needs. Do you need rest? Jesus will give you rest. Do you need spiritual lifting up? He will give you that. Do you need some cash or go to Niagara Falls or, you know, something? He is the provider for all our needs. And so today I'm here to tell you, just believe. Don't put limits on God and think, no, that's not possible. God, you don't understand. There's only this much, and there's this great of a need. God says, that's a breeze. We could do double that if you wanted to. Be willing to have the faith in believing that God can take up every single one of your needs. He can take care of it all.